Financial Matters.
Dr. Frank Magwegwe is my guest. Somebody's asking me, oh, can't I use ZTC? Yeah, I'm a ZTC. Why not? Me, I'm everything, Papa. I am all things to all people. Eh? 19 minutes after 8 o'clock, Dr. Frank Magwegwe is in the studio with me, the head of financial wellness and advisory at Nedbank, and he's also a Gibbs faculty member. Dr. Frank, let's demystify
unit
issue
trust.
Of unit trust. Yeah. I hear it all the time.
All the time.
People talk about unit trust. What is that?
You know, I was thinking about it, Bro, in preparing for the show. And one of the things that I found so interesting is that the first unit trust, the first, was established in South Africa.
Really?
1965. No, the first one in South Africa was 1965.
Right.
In the US, they are there. They call them mutual funds.
Right.
And for me, one of the things we must highlight on this show is really the idea of our listeners being curious. You know, abantwana, they are very curious.
Yeah.
Sometimes we can't keep up with their questions, right? Because they're always curious.
Sure.
And I think for us to build wealth, one of the things we must, it's just being curious. Exactly the question you're asking. You're at a Brian, someone says, I have unit trust. What is that?
Yeah.
And the amazing thing is, very soon, we'll be celebrating 60 years of unit trust. And it's someone just coming up with an idea that you and me, we often, in fact, most likely, the average working person, we don't have enough money to buy shares. We spoke about shares last week.
Yeah.
In enough quantities to build wealth.
Yeah.
What I'm talking about is, let's say, for example, you've got 5,000.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So 5,000 is a lot of money for a working South African. But to spread 5,000 on 10 shares, it's not really going to help you build wealth because it's small.
Yeah.
So somebody came up with the idea, says, no, how about we collect money from Aubrey, from Frank, from Chris, from Tate, from many people. We put it together. We have hundreds of millions. We use it to buy shares. Then each one of us has a small unit of all these monies put together. That's where the word unit trust comes from.
Sounds like a very big stock fair.
It sounds exactly like that.
Yeah.
Everyone is contributing. It's a legal entity, so it's allowed by the law. Collect money from all these people. Now what can you do with the money, Bra Aubrey? You can buy Old Mutual. You can buy MTN. You can buy Vidbest. You can buy all the shares that we spoke about. So each one of us will have exposure to 10, 15, 20, even 100 companies, which maximizes our opportunity of building wealth. So when we talk of shares, we said you go and buy at the stock exchange, through a stock broker, through your bank, as an example. Here, we're now talking of an instrument, not at the stock exchange. You can buy it through a bank. You can buy it through your insurer, the Momentums of this world, the Metropolitans, the Sanlam, the Old Mutuals, any bank. And effectively, what you are buying is a group of shares. That's really it's a basket of shares. And every time those share prices go up, the unit trust goes up in price. The share price decreases, the unit. So it has the same exposure, the same risk, in other words, to shares, but because you're not putting your eggs in one basket, it's got insurance, it's got bank, it's got telecoms, it's got Prime Media, it's got any company on the stock exchange. So it's really a wonderful way of having your exposure to shares, but not in one basket.
So it's the same principle of investment that
risk
we were talking
return,
about last week.
Nothing changes.
But it is now a situation where, because we understand that as individuals, we may not have the capital or the
yes.
money that is going to buy enough shares
yeah.
for us to create significant wealth.
Yes.
We then go into the scheme, this
yes.
this large stock fair
yeah.
of many hundreds of thousands of people.
Some have 50 billion
yes.
that South Africans have contributed.
Yes.
and the company has gone and bought shares with 50 billion and each person owns a small unit.
And this 50 billion doesn't buy one share. It buys a variety, a whole portfolio of correct. Various shares from different market segments, correct. Different industries.
And that's the language.
I'm coming.
Hey, did you hear Chris? Hey. Portfolio, market segment. Hey.
Right. So what happens is that there are clever people who are looking at various
financial
market
analysts,
segments.
Portfolio managers, fund managers, full time. Their job is to decide which share to buy in what sector
for this big stock
for
fund.
The and not only Lime Sands.
Yeah.
New York Stock Exchange.
Everywhere.
London Stock Exchange.
Okay.
Asia, Hong Kong, all over the world.
How is the return on your investment,
nice.
However many shares or unit trusts you own in that big scheme, how is your return determined?
Good. So, remember from the previous session we had, we said, the previous show, banks give us guarantee almost on our money. The risk is low, so is the return. Then we move to shares. The risk is high, so is the return. So, these amazing, amazing products called unit trusts, they can be made up of only shares. They can be made up of only local shares. Local shares and international shares. Abu Apple, Abu McDonald's, all those Samsung, you can also buy them, right? They can also be made up of shares and property. They can also be made up of cash, which is your safe bank type deposits, shares, local and international. So the investment returns depends on which unit trust have you invested in. If it's a share unit trust, it will be very comparable to just buying shares themselves. If you say, no, but shares can be up and down, I want shares and property, then the return is similar to having a portfolio of shares and having a portfolio of property on its own. So it's a risk game. The more shares in your unit trust, the riskier it is, but also the higher is the potential for creating wealth.
So those principles remain.
They remain the same.
The more you risk, the higher the potential return, but also the risk is also
correct.
The real one, right?
And the same to choose, Praobri.
Yes.
If you don't spend time analyzing shares, analyzing the unit trusts, what shares do they hold that's publicly available? You work with a financial planner, you work with an advisor to hold your hand. So just like we know MTN, Standard Bank, Bidvest, each unit trust, and there's thousands of them, they'll tell you the top 10 shares that they hold, the top 20. You have a history going back 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years since the unit trust started. It's all publicly available. Even better, Praobri, the cost of investing in that, how much do they charge you for trusting these professionals to manage the money and invest it for you? By law, they have to tell you how much it costs. It's all publicly available. So very transparent, in other words.
You say that there's many different types of...
thousands.
Really?
Thousands.
So let me try and see if I'm going to ask this question in an appropriately curious way. You're saying to me that unit trusts are not limited by what types of shares they buy.
Yes.
So a number of unit trusts can, so in other words, you open your unit trust fund, I open up my unit trust fund, and you open
the
up
thing
your
opens, yes.
Yeah, everybody opens up their unit trust funds.
Yeah.
Theirs is to try and canvass as many people to invest in their unit trust. And that determines the value, the size of the unit trust.
Correct.
That determines the number of market segments that they can be involved in and
correct.
How much they can buy in those market segments.
Yes.
And also how possibly successful they can be, bearing in mind also that there's still the risk.
100%.
But you're saying that there can be thousands of these.
There are thousands because exactly the example you gave, you look at the big four banks.
Yes.
Each one has different unit trusts. Let me give you an example. you've got a unit trust that says, I'm only going to invest in the top 20 big shares on the stock exchange. They canvas you, me, everyone, our 702 listeners, our Cape Talk listeners. We put 500 in the month. We can put a lump sum, and then they go and buy these shares. Then another bank says, no, but I'm only going to do the top 40. Then another bank says,
yeah, I've heard about the top 40, 40, yeah, right? Yeah, yeah.
Another bank is going to say, no, I want to give you exposure to industrials and financial shares. Another one is saying, I'm going to do retailers, your Pick and Pay, your Woolworths, your Truworths. Another one says, I'm going to do local and international. So I will buy you your Zara's, which is a clothing retailer,
Your
H&M, plus local ones. So can you see, it's the number is a function of your imagination. Another one, Bra Aubrey, is going to say, Bra Aubrey likes risk.
Yeah.
Let's create a unit trust that only invests in local and global gold shares only. When gold is doing very well, that unit trust is doing well. When gold is struggling a little bit, that unit trust might not be. So it's really a function of your imagination. That's why there's thousands. And so to make your way in thousands of unit trusts, you're going to need someone to hold your hand.
Sure. Those people that hold our hand.
Yeah.
So maybe the question should be rather, who are the administrators of these unit trusts? Is it banks? And if I go to a bank to buy a portfolio of unit trust, are they buying their own, or can they go and buy unit trust from various other unit trust companies?
Beautiful question.
Yeah.
Because the law is very strict.
Highly regulated.
Highly regulated. Obs, you spoke on the show last time. Those buddies of yours, the 40,000 that you lost.
Hey, wait, man.
You don't want to wake up and your unit trust money is gone.
Hey, man.
So, the law is so strict. There is a separation of duties. There is the administration. In other words, collection of the money, putting in this trust a legal entity. That's one part of it. Monitoring the ups and down of the share prices. That's one aspect.
Right.
Charging the monthly fees for managing it.
Right.
Then there's a separation of duties. Then there's another entity, the financial professionals, called asset managers, sometimes called fund managers, who spend their time deciding, am I buying MTN or Vodacom? Am I buying Standard Bank or Nedbank? Right? In other words, the segregation of duties, the day-to-day administration of the unit trust, and then the money is given to you, and then the buying and selling of shares that form part of that is so well segregated to make sure that your professional, Braobs, who is buying those shares locally and on your behalf, they can close shop today. Guess what? The money is safe because it's administered by a different entity.
So
it's
separation of power.
Separation of power. So that when they do funny things and they close, or they have reputational issues as an asset manager, no, don't worry. It's managed in a safeguarded trust by a separate entity. Therefore, your money is safe as a unit trust investor.
How insulated from the consequences of their decisions are these fund managers? In other words, I'm an investor. I want to buy unit trusts.
Yes.
I am aware that there is a certain level of risk, and
correct,
I might lose my money, in as much as I accept that I'm liable to earn a lot of money.
Yes. Through if it goes well.
If it does well, right?
Yes.
I understand those things. But I'm essentially gambling on the idea that there are certain educated people,
correct,
who will make the right decisions in that space.
Yes.
What happens, what liability do they have if they make wrong decisions?
Good question. So they've also realized that and said, we need to align. We want to grow wealth for Braobs, right? And so we can't make mistakes, because the very same people we're talking about, some of them had shares in Steinhoff.
Yeah.
Some of them, we spoke about Transaction Capital last week, that also has found itself in trouble, and African Bank in the past, and all the past problems that shares give you because they have a lot of risk.
Sure.
But there's also the upside down. We often talk about PSG, right? We often talk about Capitec.
Yeah.
So they are investment professionals, and what they try to do is to get it more right. There are a few shares they'll buy and things go wrong, but they try to do a lot of research to make sure that on average, they buy shares that increase in value over time. How do they try to align your interest of creating wealth with them? Most of them try to charge low administration fees. So in other words, it costs us money because they must hire all these CAs, chartered financial analysts, you know, hedge funds. These are highly skilled professionals. Sure. They must pay them.
Sure.
So they try to say, we're going to charge you a small fee for the management, the buying of shares and creating of portfolios. If things go well, we will share in the upside. So last week we took a call of that profit share. They'll then put a profit share to say, if we make you a return that is above this certain level, we will share in it. In return for that, we keep our management fees low. Only when you have reached this threshold of investment, sometimes they say it's 10%, or sometimes they say it's 10% above the all-share index, depends on the unit trust. Yeah. So basically, they try to align their interest by saying, only when we achieve this certain target return, we share profits with you. So there is a lot of alignment.
So they share the risk with us, yeah?
They share the risk and they share the upside. The competition to gather all these monies and put them in unit trust and buy shares is high, and therefore they also are forced to make the investment management fees. That's why they call them lower. So there is generally good alignment of interest.
Listen, we've got a couple of calls.
I can imagine.
People wanting to get a little more information, and I suppose the conversation is going to go to the space now where we ask, so which unit trust should I choose?
How do you select it?
How do I select it?
What's your time horizon?
How do I think about this? Yeah, all of those kinds of things.
5 years, 1 year, six months.
So please, if you've heard the beginning of the conversation, Dr. Frank McGuigwe was saying that we need to sharpen our curiosity. There's no such thing as a stupid question.
Yes.
Ask that question. Because somebody out there is probably thinking what you are trying to ask.
Yes.
But because we all want to say, we know, we don't want to sound too stupid. No, ask the question.
It's a gift to others.
Ask the question.
They're thinking about it.
011-883-0702 is the number to dial. Let's speak to Kamo. If you can there, Dr. McGuigwe, put on your ears. Kamo is in Midrand. Good evening to you, Kamo. Hello, Kamo.
Good evening, Kamo.
Why are we not hearing Kamo? I can see Kamo's. All right, let's see if we can't get Kamo onto a different line, please, Ndando. The important thing here, Dr. Frank, that I'm beginning to understand is that we shouldn't be ashamed of our curiosity.
Yes, and I just want to tell the listeners in Bra Chris.
Yeah.
And hold me on to this. End of this year, I'm going to give Bra Obs a certificate for financial education. The questions, problems. Baba, you getting it?
So you getting it?
So, no, you're nailing it.
Dr. Frank,
take a picture, Bro Chris.
Yeah, no, we must
give
you
a certificate.
Some leaf. I must have something on my wall. I've got
on
nothing
on the wall. Yes,
I've got nothing there at my wall. There, when my friend comes to my house, I'm going to say, "What? What is this?
Graduated.
What do you call this thing?
Yeah.
The certificate from Dr. Mokwekwe at the studio. Let me speak to Offense in Germiston. Hi, Offense.
Evening, Mokri. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you, Offense. What is the question for Dr. Frank?
Okay, I wanted to ask if there's any real significant difference between an exchange-traded fund and a unit trust, because they seem to be one and the same thing. And I wanted to also ask, given banks having issues at the moment, which is the better one to invest in, an ETF or just a unit trust?
Oh, lovely, lovely question, lovely. And thank you so much for introducing this exchange-traded fund. We hadn't talked about this evening. You are quite right, Offense, that other than the legalese, they are more or less the same thing. Because what are they trying to do? They are essentially saying, instead of buying one share and things go wrong, we buy a number of shares, 10, 15, 20, or 40, and many South Africans get exposure to that. So at a high level, they are pretty much doing the same. There is some legal differences in terms of how they are regulated, But for you and all of our listeners, they pretty much do more or less the same thing. And so whether you are deciding to buy an exchange traded fund or are deciding to buy a unit trust, really the thing that you need to take into account is what is the underlying. Is it shares only? Therefore, it's got a little bit more risk. Is it shares only locally and internationally? Is it shares and property and money market instruments? In other words, what they tend to call a balanced unit trust or a balanced ETF, that exposure to different asset classes, they behave different. That's really the number one thing you need to know. The second one I would add, offense, then check the fees. They tend to be slight differences in the investment management fees between an exchange traded fund and a unit trust, but they serve the same purpose of building wealth. In terms of your question around which one would you buy, given some of the issues that we're seeing with banks, I answered the question just now when I say to Bra Aubrey, because of the legislation that governs both exchange traded fund, that governed unit trust, even if a bank were, you know, to get into trouble and they've bought a unit trust or an ETF that they created, your money would be safe. They sometimes buy their own shares, but it's totally different people, right? It might be a NetBank ETF or a Standard Bank ETF, but it's professionals who are buying NetBank or Standard Bank on its value, not because I work there.
Can NetBank buy unit trust from APSA?
That's the beautiful thing. They have not only their own unit trusts. This is a development over the last 10 years or so. Yeah. They almost call them the fund supermarket. On their platforms, they've got competitor product, yes.
Mm. All right, let's speak to Kamo in Midrand. Hi, Kamo.
Hi, Dom.
Sure.
Kamo, you're back. Good evening.
Thank you for your time. Yes. Good evening, gentlemen. I just wanted to find out whether locally I'm able to buy something that tracks Nancy Pelosi's buys and sells. She's a wonderful investor, and I would like to make sure that I'm able to buy what she buys, sell what she sells when she does so. Do we have something locally that tracks how she does it or how Bill Gates does his?
Yes.
Thank you.
Ah, thanks, lovely. And Bra Obs, I mean, don't we have amazing listeners?
Man, I didn't even know that Nancy
Pelosi. And so what has happened? 702 Cape Talk listeners, when we ask you to call, do you see the gift you give others?
Sure.
Now someone is introducing us to this idea, so let's quickly unpack it before we answer the question. In the US, she's a senior politician. Every quarter, she's required to disclose a holding. What has she been buying? I mean, she's making laws. What has she been buying and selling? So, what has happened in the US is that many people look into her disclosures, right? What has she been buying and selling? And they've created portfolios. In other words, they basically track what she's buying and selling. We don't have something locally. In other words, a local bank or a local asset manager that has created a product that tracks that. You do have some of that, you know, in the US. If you want to do it here locally, what you need to do is track what is published on Twitter, on social media platforms, and through a local bank, you can be able to buy shares on the New York Stock Exchange or shares, in fact, anywhere in the world. The likes of PSG, the likes of Net Group Investment, the likes of APSA Investment. You can open an account that allows you to buy shares here and shares locally, as well internationally. So you can track and buy what she's buying that way. We don't have a formal product like what other companies have done in the US to track not only here, to track disclosures from Bill Gates and any of these big investors that in the US they have to tell us what they've been buying and selling every quarter, including even Warren Buffett, for example.
Dr. Frank, I understand Kamu's call.
Yeah.
And I understand that the logic and the rationale behind wanting to track the investment behavior of somebody who is an investor,
a lawmaker, who's and an investor. Yes.
Whether it's Nancy Pelosi
or anyone else, Bill Gates.
Look at Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi.
Yes.
And Bill Gates and all of these.
Warren Buffett, yeah.
But isn't there danger here in that kind of strategy?
There is.
In that the personal circumstances of these various investors, as super as they are, differ from mine and Kamo and yours.
Absolutely.
It would seem to me that part of the strategy in the way that you choose whatever investment, whether it's shares, whether it's unit trust or whatever it is,
hedge fund,
whatever
instrument
you use to build wealth, must be connected to your personal circumstances.
Beautiful.
Because I'm going back to the first lesson you taught
us. Yes.
That know yourself.
Yes.
Understand your own circumstances. Yeah. And then the strategy to buy and sell, guided by these very insightful investors, whether it's Pelosi, whether it's Buffett, whether it's, of course, we look at them and we get guidance and we get understanding. You listen to the Bruce Whitfield show. You listen to all of these things.
Yeah.
But ultimately, and of course, you listen to the Aubrey Masango show on a Wednesday with Dr. Frank Makwekwe.
I'm glad you didn't forget us.
Hey, we're coming. We're coming.
We create our own portfolio.
We're coming. Right now, here's the thing that I'm intuitively feeling as we have this conversation.
Yeah.
That we must, in our strategy, in the way that we decide, in the way that we think about what we invest in, it must be also deeply informed by our own personal realities.
And it's in two ways, Bra Obs.
Yeah.
The first one is, what is my level of risk tolerance?
Why won't I think?
Because some of these very successful investors that we track and they publish their portfolios, they are so financially secure. They can make one bad investment. They can pretty much just write it off. It's not going to affect their day-to-day life because they have built a lot of wealth, right? So, number one, do you have the level of risk tolerance?
How deep are your pockets
that this person is doing? Mm. You need to know that.
Yeah.
Then you need to go a step further. What is my current financial situation? Because perhaps we always say on this show, if you don't have money for emergencies, something happens, you need to repair a windscreen, your geyser bursts, you go into a pothole, you need to fix your car, your car is out of warranty.
My brother's lowballing, he needs 10,000.
They need money, there's a death, you need to contribute. Those are all emergencies.
Yeah.
You can't be buying shares. Then you've got an emergency 3 months from now and you want to sell those shares because 3 months is too short to be buying and selling shares to fund an emergency. So it's my financial situation. How much of emergency savings do I have? No, I've got enough buffer. Even if the share falls, I don't need to sell it because I'm investing for the long term, number one. Number two, me, Bra Aubrey, gold price is always going up and down. I have very little of gold in my own investment because I just can't stomach its ups and downs. So I know my risk level.
Those fluctuations.
Yes, I'm not going to be investing in that. So those two things are important. What is my financial situation and how much risk am I prepared to take?
I'm interested to, as we continue, I want to take some more calls, but I'm interested to then, what is the rule of thumb?
Yes.
How do I approach the buying of unit
trusts? Money on fire, bro.
Giga fire fund.
You're on fire. I'm a myself because Christian was an educator, right? So my lessons are sticking here.
You see, Dr. Frank.
Rule of thumb.
I'm moving,
Bra Obs. 702 listener. Yeah. Rule of thumb. Yeah. Do you know what we say, Bra Obs? Mm. We say, take your age. How old are you?
Yeah.
Say 100 minus your age. That is the exposure to shares you must have in your unit trust, in a share portfolio, in an ETF. If you're 30, we're saying, as a rule of thumb, you can have up to 70. Why? Because you've got a long period to retirement.
Yeah.
You've got a long period to still earn money, even if things go wrong. the period is long for them to correct them. The share prices will go up. That's number one rule of thumb.
50.
100 minus your age. How old are you?
Yeah.
100 minus your age, you can safely put that
amount. I'm in the middle of that. I'm
then
50.
We are saying roughly, you quite comfortably can have exposure in your portfolio of 50% in shares. So in other words, for every 1,000 you have, Bra Aubrey, 500, you can put it in shares.
Okay.
That's the number one rule of thumb.
Right.
The number two rule of thumb, we've just mentioned it now, it just says, remember, share investments, you're really looking minimum 2 years, ideally three, but minimum we can go with two. In other words, I will not touch this money for the next 2 years.
Okay. Okay.
Do you see why we need to have the one for emergencies? Yes. Then we have the one for taking risk to build wealth. I put this 5,000 in ETFs, exchange traded funds, or in unit trust. Even if in a year's time it's gone a little bit lower, I must just close my eyes because we call it investment horizon. An investment horizon, the time that I want to comfortably build wealth, is minimum 2 years or longer. Okay. Those are the two important. 100 minus your age, that's exposure to equities or shares, number one. Minimum 2 years, do not touch that money. Just close your eyes, forget about that money. If you want to put it in unit trust and exchange traded fund, we're talking of creating wealth. Mm. Rules of thumb.
011-883-0702 is the number to dial. Godi Rachetsi on Twitter says, greetings, Braobs. I went into my bank branch and tuned them. I want to buy shares.
Yeah,
they looked at me like I've gone mad. Dr. Frank said they'd help. It depends. I hope you didn't go to the teller.
I was going to say,
I want to buy shares. The teller. There's a customer service.
No,
area,
the consultants would help you. You need absolutely to have that conversation with them. Yes.
And no, they didn't serve you well there, Khodi Rakhete, because they should have then directed you to the place where you can hold.
And you know what they would say, Braobri? You go to that area, you know, being an educator, one must not only talk about it, you must try to experience it.
Yes.
So I have done that, where I pretended I know nothing.
Yeah.
And I walk in a branch, I want to buy shares.
Yeah.
Then they put your name on the list at the counter, they put you through to a consultant. And that consultant will tell you some of the things they will ask. You can buy shares on our app. Do you bank with us? Download an app. That's one thing they'll say. Another thing they'll say, log onto your bank account. Link it to, then they give you the name of the bank. FNB Share Trading, Standard Bank Share Trading, Net Bank Share Trading. Absolutely. You need to go to the consultants.
Yeah, please go to the consultants. The tellers, they'll probably say, sorry, Pop. Let's speak to...
they might not know that.
Sure, let's speak to James in Rudderport. Hey, James.
Hello, Dr. Frank. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you
so much
for making the call, man.
Thank you for calling. Good evening.
I love the idea of unit trust. When I started working in the 80s, I had a friend that was much older than me.
Yes.
And as a side hustle, he was selling old mutual unit trusts to anyone that was interested. He had some deal with them, earned a bit of commission.
A bit of commission, yes.
He put every cent that he had into unit trust. Yeah. He always told me when he retires, he's going to live better than what he lives now.
And you thank you,
And then he retired. And he started earning money that he had never seen in his life. And he even bought himself a Ferrari.
Yeah.
He was crazy about Ferraris. He bought a Ferrari.
Listen to that.
And for a person that doesn't know anything about shares and which company to buy for, there's nothing better than unit trust. I looked it up on Google to see where I can get the best growth, and I found out... Old Mutual is the second one. The first one is a company I never heard of. And Old Mutual was by far still, after all these years, the best growth, 20% over the last 3 years or something.
Yeah.
And I can't think of any better investment. Yeah.
Wow. What a beautiful call. Because often when we talk on our show, because we talk about these things all the time, some of the listeners will think, they must just say it because they, you know, talk about investment and shares. And to get such a testimony just shows the power of what you are saying, Braob. You have a full-time job somewhere. By putting 500 rand, 250 rand every month in the unit trust, it grows. And that's one thing we hadn't talked about. Please don't say I don't have the money. As a Cape Talk or 702 listener, most unit trusts, the minimum they want to collect from you every month is about 300 rand.
Really?
Some as low as 250.
You know, last week you...
debit order, 300.
Chris even made it promo.
Yes.
When that little boy called.
Ah, that was such a lovely call.
That was a beautiful call.
Yes.
And the idea that we need to perhaps start buying unit trusts for our children.
As birthday presents.
As birthday presents.
In addition to the shoes, or it's beautiful. And it can be.
Yeah, Dr. Frank, it's very important. That
300, absolutely. Of course, if you've got a lump sum like 1,000 rand, you can also hoard it in the unit trust. But we mustn't have our listeners thinking, I need 10,000.
Yeah.
I need, no. You need to find as little as 300 rand or 250 in your monthly statement.
Of course, and stay consistent in
and
that
just
way.
Just say, I'm going to close my eyes. I'm going to put it in this unit trust.
Into the unit
you
trust.
You thank yourself 100%.
You see, Dr. Frank, we need to fight poverty.
Yes.
That thing is not
this
nice.
This knowledge is hidden away from people.
Let's take a quick call from Anne in Centurion. Good evening to you, Anne.
Good evening to you. I love the energy with which you both handle the program.
Thank you so
on
much,
a serious matter.
Much appreciated.
Thank you, Anne.
Oprah can't even sit. He's standing. That's how much energy he's got. Just to give you an idea, Anne.
I wanted to ask, what are tax implications of this per year?
Beautiful. We spoke about tax two, three shows ago. What a lovely question. Here is how tax works on unit trusts. The government, a few years ago, they put a process, and what happens now is that your company, if you use the previous caller's example, Old Mutual, what would they do? They tax you on two things, and number one, they call it the growth in your unit trust. So your unit trust, let's say you bought it for 10 rand, to just use a simple example, and then it goes to 20 rand and you sell it, right? Given how long you held it. There is something called capital growth tax, right? That's one part of it. And then when these companies that you own in your unit trust, they declare dividend, they share profits with you. That is also shared with you by the company that manages your unit trust. So both those elements, they are susceptible. You can pay tax on them, but it depends how long have you been holding the unit trust. Did you hold it for a period of 3 years, or you hold it for 1 month and sold it late? But to make it simple for you, it's done by the company that is investing in the unit trust for you, and it can either be a dividend tax and or a capital growth tax. It's all done for you. When they report to you, that tax has already been deducted for you and paid over to SARS. In the event, if you have sold the unit trust itself, you may be susceptible to that capital growth. If you haven't sold it, you don't have to worry about it. That doesn't come into play. The only one that comes into play is if a dividend has been declared, you might pay a dividend on that.
Tax on that dividend.
Tax on that dividend, yes. But remember, Anne, it's tax on growth. You have made money and you're paying a little bit of that to SARS. You need to have made money first for that tax to be levied on you. So you don't have even to declare it. When you do your annual every February or so, you don't have to do it. It's done for you already by the company you're investing through. I hope that helps.
Very quickly, Doc. Stockfels, me and my brass and mum.
Yes, let's finish off on that.
Can we start buying unit trust?
Yes. So here's a prescription. We know a lot of you, our listeners, you are part of Stockfels. Gone are the days of only having Stockfels that are focusing on death and burial. No. Dr. Makwege says no. We need to build wealth. So to answer Bra-Obri's question, the prescription for today, if you are a member of a Stockfels or any grouping of people, you can put your money together and you can use that money to buy unit trust and build wealth instead of just having a stock field that focuses on burial, as an example. So the answer is yes, Bra-Obri. You
Dr.
can
Frank,
do that.
How do we get in touch with you?
FrankMakwege.com. Talk to Frank Barton. And if you ask any of our listeners, I reply promptly and I get hundreds of those emails. I block time to answer your questions because I want you to build wealth.
Dr. Frank Magwegwe, always great to talk to you. And I'm looking forward to next week's conversation, because I'm beginning to realize that these conversations are really about breaking the cycle of poverty.
100%.
Really, that's what they're about.
That's what they are about.
And until we accept the fact that wealth is the sum total of our ability to think and make decisions.
And they are about helping individuals and families change their financial behavior.
I'm looking forward to next week's conversation with Dr. Frank Magwegwe, who is the head of financial wellness and advisory at NedBank, and also a Gibbs faculty member, talking today about unit trusts. I'm looking forward to that certificate at the end of the year. It's probably the only piece of paper that I'll have.